from Connect FM. This is Under Review, your weekly deep dive into the world of sports with Bob Anderson, Dave Glass, and Dave Herzing.
The Dodgers captured another World Series title with a dramatic come-from-behind victory in Game 7 over the Blue Jays. We'll look back at the series and talk to award-winning national baseball writer and reporter Kyle Glazer for his take.
The Steelers did something few saw coming. They beat one of the best teams in the league Sunday. I've always been on the stairway bandwagon. Are you jumping on with me? We'll discuss.
After dominating for two periods, the Penguins collapsed in the third period Monday night in Toronto. Which version of the Penguins do we expect to see more of going forward? We'll talk about this and other quick hitters later in the show. I'm Dave Glass.
I'm Dave Herzing.
And I'm Bob Anderson. Stay tuned as we discuss these topics and more as we go Under Review.
Sponsored by Petula Eye Care and the Falls Creek Eagles.
On Connect FM, your only local news radio.
Welcome to Under Review for Wednesday, November 5th. D is back. Dave was up late counting votes, but we're all here for our favorite hour of the week talking sports with you. Before we jump in, where would you guys rank November in terms of your favorite or least favorite months? One would be your favorite, 12 would be your least favorite.
Oh, it's probably 11 or 12. I'd have to think about it. It must be 11, because I think February is probably worse. But it's down there.
Yeah, the only reason why I like February is my birthday's in February, but it's at the end of February on the 28th. February's a terrible month. So, yeah, right. And April. April's a lousy month. I would put April's one for me as the worst.
Oh, that's the NFL draft month. Well, that's got to be way up there for me.
Yeah, we'll be in Pittsburgh for that, which will be, you know, that'll be awesome.
Hopefully, yeah.
I don't know. I'd say November is like a mid-month, like, 7th. Thanksgiving rules, though.
Oh, yeah. You love Thanksgiving. That's your favorite, right?
Oh, it is. Absolutely. I know. Hey, we were just talking about cranberries grown in bogs versus canned cranberries.
I'm with Dave. I've got it way down there. It might even be number 12 for me.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It's the time change just kills me. I hate it. But anyhow, October.
I might be the only person in America who actually thinks the time change is a good idea.
Well, we'll have to debate that another time. Yeah. We have too many things to talk about tonight. October closed with a bang. Game 7 of the World Series was one for the ages. Take a listen.
0-2 pitch. Kirk bounces one up the middle. Bends to the back. Over to first to beat the champ. You got to knock him out. The Dodgers stand tall.
Oh, you posed a great question on your Facebook page, Dave. Does this one top the Sid Bream game in terms of disappointments for fan bases?
Well, I really believe it does not, simply because the situation in 92 was that was like the killer blow on top of other, you know, two gut punch playoffs years in a row, 90 and 91. And the fact that the Pirate fans who were even paying a little bit of attention knew that that was the cliff. Like, Bonds was leaving, Drabeck was leaving, Bonilla had already left. You knew they were going to stink for a while. You didn't know it would be 20 years. But anybody who looked at that knew that, okay, yeah, this fun ride is over. Toronto has the talent that, especially with the expanded playoffs, there's no reason they couldn't get back to the playoffs next year. That doesn't mean it doesn't hurt. If I'm a Toronto fan, I'm like, oh, especially 1 inch, guys. Oh, 1 inch. If IKF takes a decent lead, that game's over.
Yeah, it's funny. I think about baseball and teaching kids, because I've coached for a while. And I've watched my son come up. And just watching him on, when he was on third base, I'm like, dude, you got to get off. And he didn't get off. And we were out with some friends watching that. And it just shows you when something of that magnitude is on, the whole bar, no one in that bar was a Dodgers fan. No one in that bar was a Blue Jays fan. Everybody was focused on that game. That was one of the greatest sporting events I've ever watched on TV. That series was unbelievable. So many ups and downs, so many heroics from both teams. But in the end, though, just the cutaway there, you got to knock them out when you have the chance, and the Blue Jays didn't.
Well, it's telling when the Rojas home run was the third most exciting play of the inning. You know, that the IKF play, I think if he goes head first, he probably...
Well, he doesn't even slide. He just runs through the back. Yeah.
I know. Look, players are not wired that way. They're not wired that way. On a play at home, they're used to a tag play. If that throws even a little bit offline, a slide is the right play to avoid that tag. So I can't really ding him for that. It is more about getting off the bag and getting a secondary lead, which... Yeah, I didn't even see it in real time, but then you look afterwards like, oh man, what's he doing? He's being way too conservative there.
Well, and the other thing that really struck me is that Páez, is that how you say his name? The center fielder. Mm-hmm. He ran 121 feet to make that play and in left field and make that catch.
That defensive substitution was amazing.
That was huge. And I don't think that the left fielder was going to make that catch.
Not at all.
Over the head.
Nope.
Yeah, he was in a bad position.
He was. And so without him there, the game doesn't get to extras and Toronto's celebrating. So and I looked it up. Only 7 catches covered more ground all season than that catch.
That's a cool stat.
And talk about clutch moment there. But how about Yamamoto? He was a sleeping giant. You get the pun? And he was credited with 3 of the 4 wins on the mound. He had a 1.02 ERA in the series. How surprised were you guys to see him get the ball in Game 7 after he pitched the night before?
Well, I was a little bit surprised, but not as much as you might think, because if you look back in history, Game 7, players volunteer to do wacky stuff that they would never, ever do. Randy Johnson did something like that in 2001. It's happened before. That's not to minimize it, because... You know, he definitely didn't have his best stuff like he did, but he, you know, they got through it. And it's just, it's telling how good he is and what a sacrifice he made. It's also telling how terrible their bullpen is that he would have rather thrown all their tired starters out there before he went to his actual bullpen.
Oh, yeah. But also it's telling how dominant he was that Shohei didn't win MVP, which is honestly crazy when you
and
look it, at it.
And that we're all sitting here saying, yeah, that was the right decision.
Yeah, 100% the right decision. But I thought really, really a classy thing. I don't know if you saw it on the broadcast. He tipped his cap to Vlad, which I thought that was so cool. I mean, that series had everything. And, God, you feel so bad for Toronto. Oh. I mean, what a way to lose. Holy smokes, at home. Could you imagine being there? You'd never forget that as long as you – I mean, that would stick with you forever.
And Toronto's had some rough losses with hockey. We know that for sure. But
Canada in general, guys. Yeah. I mean, you know, that is the flagship for Canada with baseball. And, of course, they haven't won the Cup since 93. Been a little bit of tough ground. I know the Raptors won 1 year, but ooh.
Well, shifting gears, Dave and I did not expect the Steelers to win Sunday against one of the league's best teams. And
whatever.
I know Lenny picked them for you. Yes, you were going to pick them. I know you would.
Absolutely. Lonnie knew he picked them, but I would have picked them as well.
I'm not convinced.
Listen, all kidding aside, I said it on the air and Len said it on the air too. Look, I had no expectations for them beating Indy and beating them the way that they did. Who was that team? Where did they come from?
Where'd the defense come from?
You mean to tell me that substitution, putting Ramsey at safety, it changes everything?
They had a pass rush again.
Yeah,
TJ Watt was there again.
Honestly, guys, I felt like what really changed it were the first 2 turnovers, but especially the punt, because the first drive, they just went right through us like a hot knife through butter. And then 3 and out, we punt, and I'm like, oh, man, this is bad. Yep. And then I know we didn't even score on that possession, but it just seemed to take – and changed the whole. And then when Jones threw that really terrible interception to the linebacker that he had no business throwing, it's like after that, everything just completely flipped in that game. I can't really explain it. I don't think it was just bringing in the safety that was, you know, but I also don't know that I trust this going forward.
I know,
because
I
it's
don't know
one
what to
game.
Think. Yes, I agree.
Well, and 6 turnovers. When are you going to have a game against
if you don't
a good
win
team?
With 6 turnovers, you might as well just quit.
Yeah.
Well, and I will say, I don't think those were fluky turnovers, because the pass rush got to Jones, and I think that created the turnovers. Not so much like the Patriots game. I thought that was a little bit more fluky, you know, the fumble at the goal line and stuff like that. So let's see if they can keep it going. So we got to predict this game this week. We'll do it early this week. We got the Steelers 5-3 at the Chargers 6-3. A Sunday night football clash. Chargers are favored by 3.5. And I'm going to go first this week. I don't want to overreact to one good week by the defense. I got to see it again. I will say that Joe Alt being gone for the season, that's a huge loss for the Chargers. But I'm going to take them at home. I'm going to say 24-20 here on the short week favors the home team.
Yeah, I'm also taking the Chargers. And I'm almost in the same vein. It's like, okay, fine, prove it again. Now, the one thing we were talking about, I don't trust if they really did get a better run defense out of the blue, because that Indy team lives and dies by the run, and we shut them down running. So
arguably the best back in the NFL.
Yeah, yeah. And he really wasn't a factor after the first drive. So that's going to be a big thing. You know, Harbaugh wants to run first. So if they can stop the run, they do have a chance. I just don't like this. Right after a big game, they have to go across the country. I know it's a Sunday night game, and they're better in those, but I just feel like it's going to be another one of these. You know, and this has happened for, a decade? Every time you think you've got a Tomlin team figured out, they go the other way. We gave them up for dead. They won. Now we're like, oh, they're back. So, yeah, I'm with you. Show me another one.
I'm picking Stairway.
Of course you are.
I think they're hot. I think the Alt injury, him being out, is going to be a much bigger factor than what people realize. That's actually the only reason why I'm picking Stairway, if you really want me to be honest. I'll take him 27-21.
All right, so I didn't put down my score. I need to...
24-20 for me.
Yeah, I'm going to say... I think I'm going to go... I think the offense is actually going to struggle more than we expect this week. I'm going to go, we're going to lose 24-14.
Ooh, okay. Real quick, did the Steelers... Should have they been more aggressive at the trade deadline?
Yes. I absolutely think they should have been more aggressive. I mean, look at the two receivers that went and look at what was given up for them.
I thought the prices were pretty high yesterday, though. I mean, a fourth and a sixth for Jacoby Myers, I don't know. For a rental, that seems a little high to me.
The Steelers are loaded with picks, though, too, Bob.
Yeah, I mean, we want them, D.
I know, but still.
It's going to be fun.
You know, this all-in approach that they kept talking about this season, if you're all-in, you know, my comeback to that is if you're all-in, just show me you're all-in. And they didn't do anything to address getting the second wide receiver. So I don't know.
Talked last week. We wouldn't have gone with the receiver. We'd have gone for defense.
Yeah, get a cornerback.
Asante Samuel's out there.
Sauce Gardner. I mean,
that was too much.
Two first rounders is too much. One first rounder, I might have done it.
Yeah.
But two first rounders, I thought that. And look, we'll talk about it later. I give the Jets high marks. It's like, okay, if you're going to burn it down, let's burn it down, baby.
Yes.
I mean, they got good
value.
I'll
tell you who should do that. It's Cleveland. Wasted Garrett.
They were sitting on their hands there yesterday. It's time to get to a break. When we return, we're going to talk more baseball with Kyle Glazer. Stay with us on Under Review, sponsored by Fatul Eye Care and the Falls Creek Eagles.
Let's get back to the action. You're listening to Under Review with Bob Anderson, Dave Glass, and Dave Herzing on Connect FM.
Welcome back to Under Review. This segment is brought to you by Fatul Eye Care. From eye exams to contacts and more, Dr. Dan has you covered. We're going to keep the baseball talk going. Joining us now is Kyle Glazer, award-winning baseball writer and reporter. Kyle, welcome to Under Review.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Well, we got a lot to talk about. That was a heck of a World Series there. We are Pirates fans around here, Kyle, and we're used to disappointment. But I really feel for those Blue Jay fans, not just for the loss, but for the way they lost. Can you think of a more heartbreaking loss for a franchise?
The only one that came to my mind was in 2011, Texas Rangers versus St. Louis Cardinals, where the Rangers were one strike away from winning the World Series and one out away from winning the World Series on multiple occasions, both in the ninth inning and in extra innings. And the Cardinals kept just coming back and coming back. Obviously, Nelson Cruz had the missed catch on what would have been the final out. And then, of course, David Freese ending it with a walk-off home run in addition to his game-tying triple. So I think that was the only one that came to my mind of just pure pain. There's no question. The Blue Jays, it was an incredible game. Everyone was on the edge of their seats. You definitely felt for Toronto and really all of Canada the way that they lost that one.
Yeah, we're a little biased around here. We still remember that Sid Bream game from 92. We're still trying to get over that one now. But we knew Yamamoto was good. We didn't know, in the words of my co-host here, Dave Glass, that he's a cyborg. So he pitched six innings the night before. And were you surprised to see him get the ball again in game seven?
Well, I think after we saw him throw a complete game in game two and then be available to pitch out of the bullpen during that 18-inning game three, which in itself was absolutely insane, that almost was the sense of, okay, this guy really has a rubber arm and is going to be good to go no matter what. So I think once he showed that, it was almost kind of like, okay, we know he's down for this, but then to see him come out and be as effective as he was with no days of rest. He's still pumping 97 with 91 and 92 mile an hour splitters, pitching scoreless frames, getting out of jams. It really is incredible and special. I mean, there's a reason that this is so rare. And, you know, the guys who've done it before, Hall of Famers like Randy Johnson, it's really special stuff that I think should not be taken for granted.
Teams in all sports, I think, tend to copycat the winners. And, you know, one thing I noticed is LA kind of bounced from a bullpen heavy theme before to really relying on their starters. Part of that's because their bullpen had some ineffectiveness. But do you think that maybe this is the beginning of bringing back, quote unquote, the starter as kind of a mainstay in baseball, especially in the playoffs? Because we've kind of gotten away from that notion.
Well, we've seen that the teams that win the World Series are the teams that have at least three quality starters who can't consistently give you 6-7. You can get away with using maybe one bullpen game per series, but the teams that do multiple bullpen games or use openers and try and just do bulk guys, you know, they run out of gas typically by their second round of the playoffs, whether they're a wild card team in the DS or they are a team that has a bye and moves into the CS. So teams already know you need quality starters to win a World Series, and that relief, you know, bullpen games and bulk relievers and openers, it doesn't really work come postseason time. So I think it's more, this just drove that home even more that, again, you can get away with maybe one bullpen game per series, as we saw the Dodgers do in last season's playoffs. But when it comes to down to it, you got to have starters.
Looking a little bit deeper at the Dodgers, obviously they've got all the money they need and they'll make adjustments. But do you see this as kind of a roster in flux? Because let's be honest, their offense is getting old and it was very top heavy, especially in the postseason. And as much money as they spent on that bullpen, they couldn't trust it when they needed it. So do you see big changes coming for LA?
I think you'll certainly see them make some adjustments in the bullpen. Now, keep in mind, a lot of those guys who weren't effective for them are signed for a couple more years, so they're definitely going to need to see some improvement from those guys. You know, in terms of the lineup, these are talented young guys who just had a rough go. Andy Páez is a very, very talented young player who just got cold at the wrong time. The Dodgers have a really, really, really good farm system still with a lot of really talented young players, so I'm not too worried about them being able to, you know, bring in some new guys when we start to see, look, Max Muncy is obviously getting up there. Mookie Betts is getting up there. Freddie Freeman has been up there and continues to get up there. So there's no question they're going to have to replace some guys, but they have both the financial capital and the resources prospect-wise to, you know, find replacements and ultimately still be a really, really, really dangerous team year in and year out.
Kyle, you're a national baseball writer. I mean, I was reading some of your work. Great stuff. I'm sure you'll hear this 1,000 times from now until December when the current CBA expires. But again, Bob had mentioned about us being Pirates fans and the misery of rooting for an organization that doesn't want to spend money. You know, what are your thoughts on a potential lockout coming here?
So I would say that within the industry, when I'm talking about players, union representatives, league officials, front office executives, really everyone does believe there will be a work stoppage when the current CBA expires after the 2026 season. The only question is, how long of a work stoppage will it be? Will it be something where, you know, maybe spring training loses a week, but the regular season starts on time and no one really cares or remembers it 2 years from now? Maybe. Will it be a extended work stoppage where we lose regular season games? There's some people who believe that will be the case as well. So at the end of the day, there's no question there is a segment of owners who so strongly want a salary cap, they are willing to forfeit the entire season to get it. That said, there are a lot of other owners who are not willing to do that. So it's going to be an interesting dynamic for sure. Again, I fully expect there to be a work stoppage when the CBA expires in December. Whether or not we'll lose games, it's a lot of split opinions within the industry right now, and a lot can change in 12 to 14 months. So there's a little bit of wait and see on that.
Well, yeah, in a perfect world, Kyle, I mean, I know, like myself, you know, the ways that I would want to fix it. How would you fix it? Again, you're the expert. You're around baseball. How would you fix it?
Realistically, I think that it just comes down to finding ways to encourage these small market owners to spend more. You know, at the end of the day, the teams who put their revenues back into their payroll are not the problem. You look at some of these smaller market teams like the Pirates, who, yes, They don't have the revenue streams the Dodgers do, but they also don't spend it as wisely. They don't put as much of their money into payroll. They don't hire the same level and quality of scouts and coaches and player development. They don't pour as many resources as they should into the draft and international as some of these other teams. So realistically, they have to find ways to encourage that spending and ensure that any revenue sharing dollars these teams get does go into baseball operations or on field, you know, payroll, as opposed to in the owner's pockets. We saw a few years ago the A's reportedly used revenue sharing for the owner to buy himself a private plane. So I think it really comes down to making sure that the money is being tracked and these small market owners are held accountable if they're not using those revenue sharing funds the way they're supposed to be.
We got a few minutes left here with Kyle Glazer, who writes about baseball, at Kyle A. Glazer on Twitter. That's Glazer with an S, by the way. I want to go back to the World Series real quick. I had two quick questions for you, and they both involve a former Pirate, IKF. I'm not even going to try to say his name. Does he deserve blame for not scoring in the ninth, first of all?
No, so it's Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. And look, he talked about it. The coach's instructions were, hey, you can't get doubled off here. Look, Will Smith and the Dodgers, they love to backpick. He has a great arm. That situation right there, the absolute worst thing you can do is get backpicked off third base, or if there's a hard line drive and all of a sudden, you know, Max Muncy, the third baseman, is able to get to the back quicker. We saw the Blue Jays lose a game in game six on something like that, where, you know, guy was too far off the back and got doubled off. So I think realistically playing it a little more conservative in that situation was the right call. And at the end of the day, he has to do what his coaches tell him to do. And that's what they were telling him to do. Obviously, when it's just so close like that, you know, you're going to say, why didn't he have a bigger secondary lead? Why didn't he get a better jump? But the reality is, in that situation, the right thing to do is make sure you do not get backpicked or doubled off. And it just kind of played out in a way that it put him, unfortunately, in a position where he was just, a hair late getting to the plate.
Well, and the other one was, how do you feel about him bunting Vladdy over to the third with no outs and a must-score situation in the 11th?
I'm fine with it. Again, you have to understand who he is as a hitter. At the end of the day, for the Blue Jays, playing situational baseball there was the right thing to do. At the end of the day, you know, guys got to execute. But when you have a hitter like that, you know, again, he's much more known for his glove, not his bat. And you have the potential World Series winning run, or World Series tying run, I should say. You want to get him over to third base, and that's going to give you the best chance to score. And ultimately, the Blue Jays just weren't quite able to do it.
Looking ahead a little bit, we're almost out of time, but you know, you talked about the Pirates a little bit and the revenue, you know, sharing and needing to spend that more efficiently. Obviously, this team has a really, really good rotation, and that's a rare thing in baseball, and they probably have a pretty narrow window. Who is one player, if you were in charge of the Pirates, that you would be targeting to bring in to make it a better offense immediately?
That's the problem. They're not one player away. They need about five or six players to make this a viable offense, even with the starting rotation they have. There isn't a one player, you know, cure all here. So again, that's what it comes back to. You know, Bob Nutting and Pirates ownership need to understand that they need to get their payroll into the $130, $140, $150 million range. And yes, they absolutely can do that. Don't let them tell you otherwise. They have the revenues to do it. They are choosing not to. So at the end of the day, there's not one player here in this free agent class that automatically is going to fix everything, even if it was a guy like a Kyle Tucker or Pete Alonso, who they would never pay for. They're not one bat away. They're six bats away, and they're going to need to go after lots of high-quality hitters. And if Bob Nutting's not willing to spend, they're going to waste this window with Paul Skenes and really one of the most exciting young pitching staffs in the sport.
Kyle, that was great. Thanks again for coming on with us.
My pleasure. Anytime, guys.
Yeah. How can our listeners follow you, by the way?
Yeah. So you can follow me on Twitter at Kyle A. Glazer. You can watch me on Foul Territory TV Network on YouTube, and you can read me at MLB.com.
Perfect. Under Review is sponsored by Fatula Eye Care. We'll be right back to make our weekly NFL picks.
You're listening to Under Review Sports Talk. More takes, more talk, more sports. Let's go back to the guys.
Welcome back to Under Review. This segment is sponsored by the Falls Creek Eagles. Don't forget to head down to the Falls Creek Eagles for a delicious fish fry every Friday from 4 to 7 p.m. Here we are. We're halfway through the regular season. Where do we stand now, Dave?
Well, you and I both went. We had those games. I thought you had an advantage, but luckily I managed to go 2-2 against you. So we both went 7-7. No ground gained. Herzing, or should I say, Lenny, went 9-5.
Yes.
And so he gained some ground, and yes, he's now a game behind Bob, who's still 4 behind me.
Attaboy, Lonnie.
However, you guys both, as I expected, pick the Rams, and so you're both alive and survivor going into week 10, which is amazing. But good luck this week, boys, because you don't have any easy ones.
I got an interesting one ready.
I meant to print out the survivor thing, so I'm going to have to ask you.
Okay.
I'll
keep you straight.
All right, good.
Let me just say that all the obvious ones, you've taken them probably.
I'm sure.
Well, we start.
Raiders it is.
Yeah, there you go. Well, we start off with the Raiders, 2-6 at the Broncos, 7-2. Broncos favored by 9.5, Dave.
Yeah, it's too many points. That's the thing. And look, Darren will tell you, because Darren is, you know, our resident, Denver expert. They play down to their competition constantly. This is a repeating theme. Short weeks are always weird. Yep. So those two factors right there tell me 9.5 is too many. I think Denver wins, but I think they probably win 20-17. So give me the Raiders.
Couldn't have said it any better. 9.5 is way too many. The Raiders do have some weapons. They're not that great of a team, but the short week is a goofy thing. Denver will win this game, but yeah, give me the Raiders.
Yeah, me too. I have to say, that's a lot of points. The Broncos are 1-4 straight up in the last 5 Thursday games, and Brock Bowers is back, so he looks really good. The Falcons 3-5 at the Colts 7-2. This is in Berlin. Colts favored by 5.5. D.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. Give me the Colts in this one. I think the Colts are going to have something to prove. I think the version of the Colts that we saw playing Stairway is not the version that I think they are. They have so many weapons. That team is loaded with stars. By the way, there was a really good discussion. Daniel Jones, how much money is he going to get in the offseason?
They must be planning on paying the guy because they're giving up all their draft picks.
Yes, I'm telling you, they're making moves because, you know, and here's the thing. Other than Luck and Peyton Manning, but who have they had?
Right. No, I think they did. That them shoving their chips in says they're going with him, but that's an awful big risk after 8 games, especially because he looked terrible.
He looked like the old Danny Dimes last week.
I'm sorry, guys. He looked bad.
I'll tell you what, getting sauce will help that defense. That's
true.
Sure.
It should, yeah.
So, yeah, give me the Colts.
I'm going to take the Falcons. If this game were in Indianapolis, I would have taken the Colts.
Oh, man.
But with the travel, there's just a lot of uncertainty, and you're giving me 5.5. I'll take it.
Yeah, I don't think 5.5 is enough. I think Indy is definitely going to get back on track this week. Last week, you took a couple. I'm like, oh, man, he's got the advantage. I feel pretty good about this one.
Okay, well. We'll find out. Giants 2-7 at the Bears 5-3. Bears are favored by 3.5. I'm going to take the Bears in this one. The Giants have allowed 30 or more points in their last 4 games, and I think the Bears have found something here.
I think this line is my crazy line of the week. This is way too low. I don't understand what's going on. Chicago should be favored by 6 or 7, especially the way they've looked the last month. I'm taking the Bears all the way.
Yeah, actually, this is my lock of the week.
Ooh,
the Bears are my
wow.
Like, Dave, honestly, when I looked at this line, I was like, there's no way, because the Bears are playing really good football right now.
Well, at least on offense they are.
Well, yeah, but look at the Giants. I mean, I don't know.
Well, I have good news for you. You can take the Bears. You have not taken them.
You know
so.
What? Because this is a tough week for locks, though.
It is.
So I figure I'll just take, I mean,
take them early.
In my mind, there's no way Chicago doesn't win this game with the way they're playing right now. Their offense is clicking.
All right.
And you know what that means. All right, Dave, Bills 6-2 at Dolphins 2-7. Oh. Bills favored by 9.5.
I tell you what, this has all the feel of a trap game. Buffalo had that huge performance. They came through against Kansas City, put themselves right in the position to be the number one seed. Miami is a mess, but they're less of a mess at home, and 9.5 is a lot. Oh, this is so hard, Bob.
Who do the Bills play next week? Do we know?
I didn't look.
I'm going to look that up.
Look that up while I'm sitting here hemming and hawing about it. I do have to mention.
They play the Bucs. No, that's November 16th. Oh. Yeah, that's the.
So, all right, that trap, that is 100% trap game right there. That seals it. I'm taking Miami, not to win, but to cover, because we'll get to another game that was clearly a trap game.
And you called that last week.
Yeah, I did. It felt like a trap game all the way to me. I'm going to take Miami strictly for the, because of the point situation, and it's a trap.
Yeah, I actually think the exact opposite. I think Buffalo is playing well. They're riding high. Miami is terrible, and the Bills have absolutely owned this franchise. So, yeah, give me the Bills over them big.
Yeah, give me the Bills as well. Ravens 3-5 at the Vikings 4-4. Ravens favored by 3.5.
You know what? Your father-in-law, I'm going to take the Vikings in this one. I'm actually going to take the Vikings.
Right.
You know what? I don't think the Ravens are, you know, everybody's back on the Ravens.
I think they're back.
I don't know. I mean, this is a tough game for them. This line right there, it's a little tricky, but yet, you know what? Give me the Vikings in this. I'll take them to cover.
I just don't know if I believe in J.J. McCarthy yet. I like what I saw last week, but I got to see it again. I'm going to take Lamar and the Ravens.
That's a big win, though, over Detroit. I mean, that's a huge division win.
No doubt.
I'll say this. If Minnesota's going to win, they're going to have to score 30, and I don't know if it's going to happen, because when Lamar is back, this is a whole different team. And as I've been saying, they had expectations coming in. Every game pretty much is must win for Baltimore. I'm saying they win.
Browns 2-6 at the Jets 1-7. Jets are favored by 1.5. Can we choose none of the above in this one?
Loyal listener Pietro Mangalardi said they should flex this game for prime time. It's a hot matchup.
There we go.
What a mess. I mean, I don't even want to pick this game. Do I have to pick anybody in this game?
I want to hear about Bob's pick.
I'm
going to
take the Browns. At least they have a decent defense. They've lost 7 straight road games, though, by 13 or more points. Oh. So that ends this week.
I think this line was put on this page before the Jets sold their whole franchise off, because they should not be favored. What do they have left?
Yeah, there's no way the Jets should be
this,
favored.
To me, if you're giving me 1.5 and giving me Cleveland, heck yeah.
Yep,
I'm not in this, but that would be, I think about that as a lock. I mean, I saw this today,
I was sitting in the parent pickup line, and I always take a screenshot of the sheets we use. And I'm like, that can't be right. That's a squirrely line. But yeah, I'll take Cleveland.
Look at
Dee
doing his homework in the parent pickup. That's a good place to take a nap. That's where I used to take my naps.
Yeah. Although there's this guy that sits beside me and he plays like crazy metal. And it's like, what are you doing, dude? Turn your volume down. He's got
hashtag
stickers.
Get lost.
He put stickers on his truck. And the guy's a grown man. I'm like, what are you doing?
All right, Patriots 7-2 at the Buccaneers. Bucs are favored by 2.5, Dave.
Who would have thought in August that this would be a marquee game? Mm-hmm. And yet here we are. Drake May.
Playoff teams, baby.
Yeah, I think they're both, you know, I think New England's pretty well established themselves. They're contenders to win that division. But I think Tampa needs this a little bit more. You know, England's kind of playing with house money here. Drake May is going to have one of those, oh, that's right, he's only a second-year quarterback games, and
it
could
be
this
week. Last week a little bit. They've won 6 in a row, though.
Yeah, this is a tough assignment. I'm going to take Tampa at home.
Yeah, I'm taking Tampa at home. They're coming off a bye as well. Yeah, give me Baker Mayfield and the Bucs, and they'll cover as well. So, yeah, give me Tampa.
I'm taking the Bucs as well. All right, we got the, who do we got here? The Saints 1-8 at the Panthers 5-4. Panthers favored by 5.5, D.
Yeah. You know what? I don't want to, but I'm going to take the Saints. I'll take Carolina to win, but I'll take the Saints. 5.5 is a lot for this game. This is a slop fest, too. Although, mathematically, I was reading the other day, Carolina could still make the playoffs. Could you imagine that?
They're right in the hunt. I mean, they're a pretty good team, I think. Yeah. I think we're underselling them a little bit. I'm taking the Panthers. They're 6-3 against the spread this year. That's the second best in the league. The Saints have the worst record against the spread this year, 2-7.
Well, this is the week.
Yep, the Panthers are in the hunt. I'm going to take the Panthers as my lock of the week, too.
Oh, baby.
Lock of the week.
We got some squirrely locks. One of us is, well, we can both still be in it.
Yeah. Now this is my prediction is we're gonna have a winner if one of you two is going down. I actually think it's you because I picked Chicago, but I like this Carolina pick because New Orleans is probably the worst team in the NFL. I mean, the Jets maybe now because they burned it to the studs, but before that, I mean, New Orleans is there on merit.
Yep, Jaguars 5-3 at the Texans 3-5. Texans favored by 1.5. I really struggled with this one. I'm not sure if C.J. Stroud is going to play or not, but the Jaguars are banged up too.
Yeah,
I don't believe in either of these teams, but at least the Texans are at home and they have a good defense. So I'll take the Texans here.
Honestly, both these teams have fooled with us all year. You don't really know what you're going to get week to week. I mean, on either one of these teams, well, sometimes we'll go out and get 30 points and sometimes we'll go out and get 10 and look terrible. The NFL is like that. But these two teams in particular, honestly, I have no idea. I think Stroud might not play, which is why I'm going to take Jacksonville, but I don't feel good about it.
Yeah, I was looking into Stroud and I was looking at this as well. And it's like a coin flip. It's weird with those types of injuries. So you just never know. Yeah, I'll take Jacksonville as well. I'm with Dave.
Cardinals 3-5 at Lonnie. Seahawks 6-2. Seahawks favored by 7.5.
Oh,
me?
Yep.
Boy, this is tough. You know, Seattle really looked good last week. They looked unbelievably good, and Lonnie was right on that.
They are a contender.
And yet Arizona, with a backup quarterback, went down and throttled the Cowboys.
They're better with him in the lineup, I think. Well, Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah, but you know, wow. Seattle's so good at home. They're just good. 7.5 is a lot of points, but I like Seattle right now.
Yeah, I mean, they're playing well on both sides of the ball. That defense they have, holy cow. I mean, it's just unbelievable. They're playing fantastic.
And Sam Darnold?
Yeah.
He was 16 for 16 last week, 4 touchdowns.
Yeah, so give me Seattle big in this one. I mean, right now, I don't know. There's not many teams in the NFL that are playing any better than them.
They're averaging 8.6 points above the spread. I'm going to take the Seahawks as well, so that means the Cardinals will win next week.
Yeah, we have a pretty terrible record when we agree the last month or so, Lonnie.
Oh my God, we all agree.
That doesn't bode well for you because we all took Chicago. Just saying.
Oh, no.
Rams 6-2 at the 49ers 6-3. Rams favored by 3.5. Good luck with this one, D.
This is tough. You know what? I'm going to take the Rams. I don't know. I actually don't even know why. These two teams, really, they both know each other so well. It's a divisional game. It's a very important game. This spread could easily be 1.5. This is a push game. My gut tells me the Rams, so I'm taking the Rams, but for no other reason than that.
I'm taking the Rams too. The 49ers beat them in overtime last time, which means that the Rams need to win this game to split the series, and I see that happening.
It's hard to sweep.
It is in that division, for
sure. No, it is hard to sweep, but I look at this as a really close game. San Francisco always seems to be overachieving with this. I think the Rams might win, but I think it's a 3-point game, maybe a 2-point game. And so I'm going to take San Francisco at home, getting those points.
Lions 5-3 at the Commanders 3-6. Lions favored by 8.5. I'm going to take the Lions. They should be ticked off after last week. And the Commanders, I think they're in a tailspin now.
Well, Daniels is hurt too. Yeah. Give me the Lions big.
The Lions have covered in 12 straight games after a loss.
Had I not picked the Lions as my lock before, I mean, give me the Lions.
I said the obvious ones are gone. Everybody would have picked Detroit, I think, if you had them available. But yeah, you can't make this line high enough. With Daniels being hurt, I think Washington they're a bad team, and now they're a really, really bad team. Yeah, if you made this line 13, I would still probably take Detroit.
Last one, we got the Eagles 6-2 at the Packers 5-2-1. Monday Night Football, Packers favored by 2.5. This should be a good one, Dave.
Yeah, well, I didn't take Green Bay because I was worried about them looking ahead to this, so I'm going to assume that was correct, and they're at home, and this is a big game, and I think that they can match up with Philly. I think it'll be close, but I think, 2.5, I'm going to take Green Bay.
You know what? I'm actually going to take the Eagles in this one. I can't wait for this game. I mean, this is the NFC. It could be an NFC championship.
They're playing for home field advantage, it seems.
Yeah, absolutely. So give me the Eagles in this one.
I'm with you, D. I'm taking the Eagles as well. They're rested after the bye. The Packers have gotten caught in a trap last week. So I'm going to take the Eagles. They've covered 4 straight games as underdogs. That'll do it for our weekly picks. When we return, we'll touch on some quick hitters. You're listening to Under Review, sponsored by the Falls Creek Eagles on Connect FM.
You're listening to Under Review Sports Talk. More takes, more talk, more sports. Let's go back to the guys.
Welcome back to Under Review. We'd like to thank our sponsors, the Falls Creek Eagles and Fetullah Eye Care, once again for sponsoring the show. We got some quick hitters tonight, guys, and let's start local. Dubois advanced in the playoffs with a 48-21 win over Mifflin County last week, and they move on to play at Hollidaysburg Friday. Dave's getting his gear ready to go. Hollidaysburg is a perfect 11-0 coming into this season, and they won 69-8 last week. They also beat Dubois 49-0 in their previous matchup. Do you give Dubois a puncher's chance in this one, guys?
They would need, I think, 5 turnovers.
Sounds like the Steelers.
Yeah. I mean, look, anything is theoretically possible, but Hollidaysburg dominated that game every which way you can. I mean, I was there. I was calling the game. It's going to be really hard. And look, I'm going to just say this. Trey Wingert is going to have to play another level up. He has been a great quarterback for us. He's going to have to play mistake-free football in order for them to win. And that didn't happen. Our line is going to have to hold up and hold up against their, we got crunched in the line at the line of scrimmage. So I can't say that it's very, very likely, but that's why they play the games, guys. You never know. And I thought DuBois played the perfect first quarter on Friday. Now, they got very fortunate in the second quarter. They made some really bad mistakes, and they won't be able to get away with that against a team like Hollidaysburg. But if they can put together four of those first quarters, they have a chance.
Absolutely. I'm the biggest Loyal Suns homer in the world. I mean, Loyal Suns are we forever. I mean,
Lonnie's pretty far up there,
Lonnie's,
too.
Oh, Lonnie's a big-time homer as well. He's a Loyal Sun, baby. And but I can tell you, just watching that Hollidaysburg matchup the last time, it's going to be very tough. I mean, I'll be rooting for them. I hope they play their rear ends off, but it's going to be a challenge. If Trace passer rating, I was looking, it's over 100. They're undefeated, and it's below 100. They're 1-4. Like you said, Dave, he's going to have to play flawless football. They're going to have to find some openings for Hansley, and then and Duncan's going to have to run like he's never run before. The defense, I don't know what the answers are on the defensive side of the ball.
Turnovers, that's the only thing they can
do. Yes, exactly. They're going to have some magic happen. It's going to be fun to watch. I think the kids have had an incredible season. They should be very proud of all they've accomplished. Hope it doesn't end here, but certainly doesn't look great. But again, Loyal Suns are we, so you never know.
Well, I don't know if I saw this right or not, but I saw Hollidaysburg averages 295 yards rushing a game.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
Well, I saw that going into the last one. I'm like, okay, if we can stop their running game, we can beat this team. Yeah, that sounds great on paper. But look, I mean, if I'm being realistic, and I'm sorry, DuBois fans, if this is a little too blunt, they're going to put 30 up on us. I don't see any way that we hold them under 30. So the real question is, can our offense make this a shootout?
Yeah, because we have the weapons.
We're not going to beat them 10-7, guys. I mean, no. It's never going to happen.
It's
going
to be like the Bears and Bengals last week.
It's just going to be
last team with the ball.
Hopefully, it's an air raid style offense. Hey, listen, they have nothing to lose. Go out there and lay it all out there and see what happens. It's going to be exciting. These kids have worked all season for games like this. I mean, I hope they hope every kid out there has the game of their life. I mean, honestly, that's what you want in these big time games. I look, they're playing it. Hollidaysburg is a 32nd ranked team in the state. Those rankings can go plus or minus 5 to 7 either way, depending on what you're looking at. So you're looking at a top 25 team in the state of Pennsylvania. Hey, DuBois, go out and give them hell and see what happens.
Yeah, they're playing with house money.
That's exactly.
Hey, real quick, I give a 30-second shout out to, you know, I'm also a Clearfield guy. The Bison are playing Punxsy. You know, and first of all, nobody here should be rooting for Punxsy anyway.
Ever.
But, you know, they're playing in Brockway at the same time the Suns are playing. So if you're not, maybe go to the Brockway, go to the Clearfield game if it's close, and then you can just listen to me while I'm calling the Suns. So the Bison, I think, have a good chance against Punxsy. I really do.
Oh, well, I'll be rooting for Brockway, my hometown team.
No, Punxsy, Punxsy.
I know,
it's
I'm just saying I'm rooting for Brockway this weekend.
They're about to find out, I think. But.
Okay, the NBA is a couple weeks in, and we haven't talked to D for a little bit. So who or what has surprised you so far?
My Lakers and my Cavs. Disappointed in the Cavs, but they've had the injury bug has hurt them. Garland, Strus being out has really hurt them. But the Lakers, they're getting it done without LeBron. Luka's been hurt. And they have a lot of guys playing in a lot of quality minutes, kind of gelling. DeAndre Ayton, who is kind of one of these veteran guys, you know, it's kind of, he's got all the intangibles, but does he? But he's having some really nice games. Austin Reeves has been unbelievable with the ball in his hands. Wemby, anyone who listens to this show, if greatness is a funny thing. We were talking in an earlier segment about Yamamoto and Ohtani. We were talking to Kyle Glazer about that. Watch Wemby. If you have another reason to watch the NBA, just watch Wemby. What he's doing is simply extraordinary. The NBA, it's early. They're starting the cup. By the way, the Cavs actually tonight, they're debuting their classic uniforms when LeBron was actually early on in his career. That's
you better get
LeBron.
One of those.
Oh, I already have one.
Okay.
Of course he does. One.
Yeah, and it's the classic court. The NBA as a whole is in really good shape. Some real problems, though, with some stars being out. Halliburton being out really hurts the NBA. Tatum being out. Kyrie is going to be out for an extended period of time. The Sixers have actually done really well as well at the start of the season, which nobody anticipated. And the most fun team, I think, if you're a fan to watch, for me at least, is the Rockets. They're a youthful team. Durant, with that veteran leadership, they're fun to watch. But I'm just glad the NBA is back.
The Thunder are the only undefeated team left.
Look, the Thunder could easily win it again. They are stacked. SGA is just unfreaking believable to watch. He's almost impossible to stop.
Anything on the NBA side, Dave?
I haven't watched a single minute. I mean, I don't know where you get time for this, because by the time
when the
I watch,
go to bed,
I've got, well, yeah, but okay, I've taped football and there was World Series. Now I could maybe now, although the election not this week, but you know, the Penguins and everything else that's going on. There's no time for me to be watching basketball.
Yeah,
this time.
Survivor's on Wednesday.
Oh my goodness!
And then
don't
we
even
got
know.
The place.
Come
and,
on,
and then
come
what
on.
Hashtag
the
get lost.
Do you
that.
Watch those CBS shows? Come on, Rob. I'm older than you. Come
I have
on.
Some favorites
go,
there.
Come
I was on a Wheel of Fortune kick for a while
man,
too.
Oh man, Dave, what is happening here?
I could see Bob being a Survivor like participant. Wouldn't that be interesting? Cyborg.
That would be rough for me.
Listen, do you guys get HBO?
Yes.
Are you watching The Chair Company, by the way?
The what?
The Chair Company. It
no.
is the best show
Never
on television right now. Tim Robinson, he's a comedian. It's kind of out there comedy. It's okay. It's about a conspiracy with an actual office chairs. It sounds like the weirdest premise of a show. Dave, you like, hey, you're into Star Wars and Marvel like I am.
Yeah.
You would love this.
All right.
It's a great show. It's well written. So many layers of the show. Watch The Chair Company.
Well, you never know what you're going to get when you turn into Under Review. Wow.
Lonnie gave us an assignment last week for the Expos documentary on Netflix. Yeah.
Watch it. I'm telling you, you won't be disappointed.
All right. Well, let's go to the Jaguars kicker, Cam Little. He set a new NFL record, a 68-yard field goal Sunday. There's already been 7 field goals of 60-plus yards this season. That's the most of any season, and we're only halfway through. Is this good or bad for football?
That's tough, because I think it's probably good. I think it's always good to see records go down. I think frankly, kickers are just so much better now. I mean, they kick the ball now that they're having to really slow down not to kick it through the end zone. I kind of figured that this was coming. I mean, a 70 yarder is just a matter
that's
of time.
What I think too.
You know, I think he made one in preseason, didn't he? I think
he may have.
Do you guys know the reason why the balls are flying?
I looked it up. Go
so
ahead.
So did I.
Yeah.
K balls.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Well, they've had
shame
cables.
On me, but no, they allow them now to weather them differently, and it removes the dimpling
they
off the ball.
They rub them all up, and
I never knew that.
They get them juiced up.
When you were talking about what we were going to discuss, I'm like, there's got to be a reason. Right?
Yeah. Do you ever see them squeeze them and massage them?
In the article that I read, they asked a couple of kickers. The names are escaping me at this point, but the one guy said, kicking a brand new ball. He said, you're losing 5 to 7 yards distance.
Yeah,
every
and I
time
don't know what the science is behind that, but there is something to it.
There's clearly a science behind it because, I mean, there was a 70-yard ball kicked in the preseason, wasn't there?
Yeah, I think we were just talking about that, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, but it's pretty cool. So you learn something new every day. I mean, I knew that they weathered these balls and they were different. I didn't know they were specifically called K-balls.
Well, here's what the NFL wants. They want points, right? They want offense, higher scores. They want 33-30. They don't want 10-7. So, of course, they want to make field goals easier, and it's a risk reward because unlike in high school where it's a touchback, if you miss, you get it where you kick it from. So if you miss a 70 yarder, you're giving them the ball in an
they
awful
might
good spot.
They might turn around and kick a 70
That's
yarder
why that
right
only
back.
Happens at the end of halves, usually.
To your point, I took a screenshot of it. Under the old rule that existed from 99 until 2024, teams were given 3 brand new footballs on game day, and they had roughly 1 hour to break them in. Now they're actually given 60 kicking footballs at the beginning of the season. So that's the difference.
So then they can just pick the one they like the best.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I never knew that.
It's a little shady, I think.
You learn something new every day, every time you listen Under Review.
All right. Well, the race to the bottom has commenced. The Jets traded 2 of their best players yesterday. The Dolphins and Saints offloaded players as well. As it currently stands, 3 teams only have 1 win, the Jets, Titans, and Saints. The Giants, Browns, and Raiders only have 2. So I've got 2 questions for you. Who's going to be picking first in the draft come April in Pittsburgh?
Boy, the Jets have to be the leaders in the clubhouse. They've got the worst quarterback situation, and they just tore their defense to shreds. So I don't know how you wouldn't say the Jets.
Yeah, the Jets and the Titans, according to Vegas, are the 2 odds-on favorites. So my money's on the Jets, J-E-T-S, sorry, Jay. J-E-T-S, Jets. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of bad football teams, just like there are every year. For my money, I'll put it on the Jets as well.
Okay, then should the NFL adopt a draft lottery just like some of these other sports leagues have done?
I don't think so. I think one of the things about the NFL is your careers are shorter than, you know, much shorter. By the time you're 30, most of your football players are done.
Yeah.
Things change quickly. If you want to you want to allow a team to get better quickly. And that was always Pete Rozelle's thing, you know, parity. And so I think it's always good to give a team that's got a good front office a chance to get better fast. And that happens in the NFL.
That's the best thing about the NFL. But we mentioned here in a previous segment about the Pirates. Again, hate to bring them up, but there's no chance in the foreseeable future. If Stairway was bad this year and they were like the Jets and they offloaded everybody just like the Jets did and got a bunch of picks, look, in a year or two, maybe 3 years tops, you'd have a whole new organization, whole new team. That's the best thing about the NFL. There's always somebody different that is a good quality team. So, yeah, I don't think a lottery would really be anything I'd be interested in.
All right, real quick, guys. The Penguins surrendered 4 goals in the third period against Toronto to lose that game after looking like world beaters in the first 2 periods. Is this more of what we're going to see going forward?
Well, I'd like to say that that's kind of the anomaly because, honestly, for 40 minutes, we were talking about it, guys. I watched every minute of that game, and for 40 minutes, I'm like, holy cow, this team looks amazing. They were skating Toronto off the ice. Now, I wonder if Jari wasn't hurt because immediately he was put on IR.
Yep.
And I just wonder because he didn't look right in the third. And I would never normally make excuses for him, but when he's put on IR and they're saying it's week to week, it's like, oh, okay, he must have been dealing with something. Here's the reason I do think that they are going to struggle a little more. Their defense has major problems. Carlson is probably their best defender this year, and that's unbelievable.
Never thought we'd hear that from you.
No, he's playing better, but he's still not a good defender, but he is playing much better. But they sent Pickering down because he's been terrible. They can't decide whether they're going to play Brunick or not, which I think they're harming that kid's development. They have to make a decision on him, by the way. He's at 9 games now. I think they're going to struggle in their own end with their second and third pairings all year. So I think the luster is off. Sid and Malkin aren't going to do this, you know, craziness all year.
Well, and they brought that kid up from the AHL. I think it's going to be exciting.
Yeah, I'm interested in that.
Yep.
We got to go. D, what do you got?
Hashtag get lost. All these weird gambling things that are going on. Now UFC, which I hate UFC, but hashtag get lost. These fixed fights and all that stuff. What is happening with sports betting and gambling?
Everything old is new again. Boxing's been fixed for 50
that's
years.
True.
I'm going to say hashtag get lost to the Bengals not being able to build a defense around one of the best offenses probably that's ever been built. And hashtag get lost to the PIAA. $600 to stream this game. That's insane.
Wow, that is insane.
That's terrible.
I'm going to say hashtag get lost to Christmas music in stores already.
Oh, man.
Hey, we got to wait till at least Thanksgiving, guys. That'll do it for this week's show. For Dave and Dave, I'm Bob. We'll catch you next week right here as we go under review on Connect FM.